Growing up in the city of Baltimore was challenging. You know, as a kid, you know, it was a lot of drug infested areas in our neighborhood, a lot of shooting, a lot of violence. Unfortunately for me, at the age of 5, you know, I got shot, you know, being outside, being at the wrong place at the wrong time. You know, things can happen once you go outside your door. And for me, you know, I was in the wrong place at the wrong time. A fight broke out. They bust the old man Chester's window. He decided to come outside and wreak havoc. So he went in his shed and grabbed his double barrel shotgun and just started firing into the crowd amongst all these kids. And it's like I said, unfortunately, I was one of the kids that got hit. No one thought they have a life expectancy past 20, you know, and which was very strange, you know, knowing that that was the case. But that was the mindset back then, because we had a lot of guys at a young age dying, mainly because, you know, they wanted that fast money. They wanted to get into that world a lot sooner, and they wanted to, you know, possibly take care of their family as well as want something good to try to provide for their, you know, for their household. So, you know, people did all sorts of things in terms of trying to make ends meet. But, you know, that was, the neighborhood and the atmosphere that we grew up in. Well, luckily that we had a game called basketball and sports. You know, sports was really a mechanism that kept us really at a safe, where it gave us a safe haven place to really feel comfortable at. Football, baseball, basketball, ran track. I was a wrestler. You know, we had a lot of sports take place in the neighborhood. So you had different neighborhoods, you know, competing against one another. And we had all sorts of sports. So that was a way of keeping us, you know, off the streets, keeping our mind, you know, active in other areas, as opposed to thinking about, you know, hey, it's time to try to, you know, go over and get a few of those quick dollars. But sports was, you know, was a place where it really kept a lot of kids safe. You know, at that time, I had no inkling or no idea that, you know, I wanted to pursue this as a career. You know, it was just a hobby. It was just something that I wanted to do. Many days, many nights going home, just crying to my mom and just telling her how cruel the kids are out there and, you know, how mean they were, you know. And but she was always, you know, always just quick to say that it had no idea what basketball was about, but she was quick to say, you know, Ty, I was Ty for her at the time. You know, Ty, they don't let them, you know, take your joy. If you like playing basketball, you go out there and play. You know, no one can be an expert on your life. They don't know how big your heart or know what your capabilities are. If you want to play, you just go out there and play. And at the time, I didn't know what that meant. I'm like, yeah, okay, Mom, but, you know, those things didn't register at the time. You know, I just focused more or less on the kids being so mean and cruel towards me, and because I was trying to pursue a game that they thought was meant for taller players. Being small, got a lot of criticism from it, you know, a lot of backlash, a lot of name calling, you know, which could affect which confidence. 5'3 was it, you know, I knew that I wasn't gonna grow much taller. I never wished that I was tall. 10, 11, you know, I started learning the game, I started understanding the game. I was being taught by a gentleman by Leon Howard, who was a director at the Recreation Center. He took myself and Reggie Williams, who was blessed to go on and play in the NBA with, as well. One of the four guys come out of our high school was fortunate enough to play in the NBA. But he and I, as a kid, was just sponges. The game really changed and slowed down in my mind, and I started really believing that, you know, I could play this game one day, you know, possibly go to college. And wasn't thinking about NBA at the time, but it was thinking about possibly going to high school and getting a college education from it. And it means to change the narrative of my families. I just wanted to play basketball, you know, whichever way. If it had been a Division II, I'd probably have been satisfied. But knowing the type of kid that I was and who I was and the competitive type of person, I wanted it all. You know, I wasn't just going to satisfy with what someone else had planned for me. You know, I wanted to create my own destiny, and I started to understand that I was in a position to do that. And, you know, when I became 12 and 13 years old, you know, words never matter. You know, it came in one ear out the other. You know, I was on a journey, I was on my path, trying to become this basketball player that no one felt like he had any, you know, any opportunity to do so. Because at the time, coaches were still in the mindset of big guards, trying to break down those barriers, you know, trying to, you know, break the mindsets of these coaches, knowing that them know that, you know, I can be just as impactful, you know, as at this size, and run your program and just be just as effective as a taller player. you're short, you know, you need to be sitting on the curb with your feet swinging off, or, you know, we could put you in the drawer when we're traveling, you know. Growing up as a kid, when they say sticks and stones may hurt your bones, but words would never hurt you, it's not true. Words will hurt you now, and they're killing folks. So words are very powerful, very powerful. So the thing is about getting within yourself and understanding who you are to kind of, you know, ward off those negative comments that's coming toward you. Because your heart, you know, it measures. It pretty much doesn't have a height to it. You know, it pretty much set the tone of who you are and what you're able to accomplish. You know, and the height factor was the game of basketball. So, you know, my heart was bigger than my height. So I didn't have no hang-ups on believing that I belong with, you know, the best of the best. You know, because my heart was just as, you know, just as big as theirs. That 12th pick and hearing the Washington Bullets select the Tyrone Muggsy Bowles, you know, basically is a place in my backyard where I grew up, being from Baltimore. You know, the weight of the world was lifted off your shoulders that day. You know, you felt like, hey, you know, this is what you've been striving for so long. And well, it changed our complete narrative of my
Tyrone
family.
Tyrone Bowles.
You know, we no longer was, you know, in the low income bracket. You know, I was fortunate enough to get my mama, you know, a house, you know, get out the projects, and my dad and my sisters and my brothers. And we was able to, you know, live a better life, you know, and where it wasn't as challenging as it was when, you know, when they was growing up. So, so that was something that I was truly proud of, that I was able to do that for our family. And they've been very supportive, you know, all every step of the way. So I was so thankful that I was in a position there to do that.
If you're 5'3", you're 1 out of 7 billion. There's never been a guy your size who did it like that.
You know, as a kid, you know, you're not as strong, you know, as you are as an adult. So when I was a kid, you know, those things was very hurtful. And, you know, that was very deterrent at the time, but it didn't distract me. I think I was born this way, you know, with the idea to take on those type of challenges, to face those type of the things that happened to me in my life, allowed me to reflect, allowed me to, you know, to resonate who I am, you know, especially when I got shot. You know, those things became so clear in terms of, hey, I almost wasn't here, you know, so why I have to worry about what someone else said that could hurt me and deteriorate me from becoming who I want to be. So, you know, that changed my mindset. You know, I remember early on when I used to go down on the court with my basketball and hearing all the words and hearing all the, you know, the criticism about me being short. But after I got shot, I remember going back down there and hearing those same criticism about myself, but it didn't have the same impact. You know, it went in one ear, out the other, as I alluded to earlier. So I think that had something to do with it. You know, it had a lot to do with my mindset in terms of, you know, what I thought and what I believed. Oh, adversity always prepares you. You know, you have to go through those things in order to see the light at the end of the tunnel. You know, I don't think anything is gonna just be like this throughout your life. You know, you have to go through that difficult, overcome obstacle. You know, because it's a testament of your character, of who you are and how you're able to deal with certain things in order to get yourself back on that playing field. Grateful that those were able to take place and still striving to be the best I can be. And, you know, going forward, hopefully I can encourage some kid to be the best they can be. You know, as a kid, you know, that's what I had to go through. You know, that's what I did. But keeping that positive message in my head, knowing that I can, and knowing that, you know, no matter what anybody else thought, I believe. And that's what I want every kid to understand, how to feel good about themselves. When you look in that mirror and you look at that reflection back, not like yourself, love yourself. I was small. I was different from all the other players. You know, it felt like I had to adjust to them, but really they had to adjust to me because they never seen a guy my size playing against them once they got the ball, not at half court, but at 94 feet, as soon as they take it out and make them work to get across half court. So all those little things that I had to do that I did, you know, allowed me to be, you know, still impactful and change the game in that regards to where now my height is not being discussed so much. If you look at whatever your weakness is, you got to try to turn it to a strength and not look at, let them know that this is a weakness. And the way I had it is, and the way I looked, did it was that, you know, guys see you small, they feel like they could post you up. I knew that guards weren't comfortable playing with their back towards the basket. Having that understanding, having the high IQ of the game allowed me also to be at the, it'd be very impactful. So where guys couldn't feel like they was taking advantage of me. I don't care how small, how big you are, if that skill set don't match up with you leading and how you leading, you know, everybody's gonna be second guessing you, calling you out. I gained the respect of the guys because they knew and they felt like I was a true leader and I was leading us in the right direction. I was an extension of the coach. Keep playing. But while you're playing, learn all the nuances, all the information that comes with the game of basketball. Don't settle for what someone think that you should be doing. Understand what that position is, because if you're undersized two guard, all right, and you're undersized point guard or you're small guard, then you still have the ability to play the game. It's just a matter of how can I be impactful on that team? What do I need to do to be impactful and not stand out as a liability and not continue to be an asset? I mean, life, we can't escape anything that goes on with life. You know, we all are not immune to problems or drama or trauma or tragedy. You know, we all here as human beings. So, you know, when you're going through some sort of difficulties, you know, first find out whatever that difficulty may be. You know, for me, I like to pray. I like to give it to the man upstairs and get strength from him. Within your power, in terms of how to start slowly, you know, get yourself out of that situation. But for one, you know, you give it to the man, you know, you do all within your power, and you believe, you be optimistic about it. You know, being negative about a situation, stand in that place, it never helps. You know, it's nothing wrong with understanding that place, feeling bad about it, looking at it for what it is, but don't stay there. You got to get back on that other side and start looking at the resolve, the resolution of it, or how can I get back to feeling good and feeling prosperous again to where I'm not dealing with this obstacle. You know, anything is possible. Positive thinking is also translated to that. You know, we always, no matter what the situation, is, we're gonna try to look for the outcome, the better of that situation. We can't find a resolution to get out of it. You know, we're gonna keep on searching to continue to try to find a resolution to get out of it, because that's what you do. You know, that's how you get to the bottom of it. That's how you get to the facts and the answer. Don't give them that platform. Don't give them the ammunition. That's their opinion. Don't mean that it's true about who you are. So that's one of the reasons, that's when I want to start this Reach One, Teach One, because I want to make sure that every kid believes in himself going forward throughout life. We all human beings, you know? So that's one of the main messages I would love to get out to everybody that's out there. Everything happened for a reason. No regrets. All the negative things that happened, I'm thankful for it because I learned. Hopefully I learned from those situations.